Good morning, sunrise. Happy Easter. He is risen indeed.
Hello from the Catholic family.
Hello.
Good morning, church family. We miss you and God bless you.
Good morning. We miss you, guys. God bless you.
God bless you. We miss you, sunrise church. Bye.
Hi, all the way from Canada. It's the Miller family. And we just want to say that we love you and we miss you. And
Happy Easter!
Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. It is here. He is risen. And we are here this morning to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We're Sunrise Community Church here in Fair Oaks, California. And so if you're joining us from somewhere across the nation or across the world, that's who we are. And we're simply a church of people that desire to follow Jesus and to do what he commands us to do, which is to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we hope this morning that you are able to not just sit back and enjoy our service, but we hope hope and pray that you'll be able to participate in our service as we celebrate Jesus and His resurrection from the dead. If you have kids, we have a kids program that you can get right off of our Facebook page on one of the posts that was put up there a little bit earlier this morning, or it could have been emailed to you earlier this week as well by our kids ministry team. But we'd love to have your kids follow along using the kids program. But let's pray together, and we're going to open our service. So Lord, we thank you so much for the risen Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we do all of this. And so we celebrate this morning. I pray that our worship and our time together would just be a pleasing offering to you. And we give this to you. We thank you for the salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this. Amen. All right, let's worship together.
Well, good morning, Sunrise Community, and happy Easter. Welcome to my home with my daughter, Sophia, my husband, Brett. I'm Rachel Jackson, and we are here to worship. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Of Christ, I'll stand.
Well, as we continue to worship the Lord this morning, it's time to receive the offering. And I want to let you know that God is at work at Sunrise, and He is providing everything we need for every day. And a lot of that has to do with how He is leading many of you to continue to give during this season, a season for some that is incredibly challenging, and a season for others where they have that ability to give, or maybe even give a little bit more. And so may I encourage you, as you feel the Lord leading you this morning, would you consider giving towards Sunrise? You can do that easily by going to sunrisecommunity.church/give, and you can set up a donation there, or even text Sunrise CC to 77977. Let's pray as we receive the offering this morning. Father, I thank you for what you are doing and how you continue to work. And I thank you for how you provide exactly what we need for every day. Pray especially for those, Lord, who in this season don't have the resources that they need to get by from day to day. And Father, would you provide for them today? Would they see you being faithful, and would they see you showing up to meet their needs? And I pray that Sunrise could be a part of that. Thank you, Lord, for this church, but more important, I thank you so much for the amazing gift that is in Jesus Christ, that you have chosen to save us. You're faithful. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is alive. Christ is alive. He has made the unbelievable believable. God's power shone forth on the third day. Christ is alive. By his wounds, we are healed. The wounds that we inflicted, wounds of doubt, wounds of rebellion, wounds of the flesh, wounds of the heart, wounds of the mind. He carried our pain. And now, by his wounds, we are healed. Today, we rejoice, for Christ is our salvation. The wood, the nails, the tomb. Nothing could keep him in the grave. He has conquered death. Today, this day, we praise God for the triumph of Christ. Today, this day, we rejoice that death no longer stings. Today, this day, we find comfort in a Savior who has gone before us and will come again. Bring us home. Christ is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Good morning, Sunrise, and happy Easter Sunday. He has risen. I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you on that. I said, He has risen. No, you know what? I can still tell that there's probably one person in some house that's saying, I'm not going to say it. So, Sunrise, He has risen. He's risen indeed. It is great that we get to be here despite being in all of our different homes. If you are turning in right now and you are new, a special welcome to you. Maybe you joined us as a part of our Good Friday service on Friday and you said, you know what? I want to hear the rest of the story. I want to know what comes next in this great narrative of God's plan. And so I'm glad that you're able to join us as we gather together from all different places and we're able to just celebrate that Jesus has risen. You know, every holiday in the Jewish calendar is very much revolved around remembering. It's all about looking back and seeing how God had provided, even in the times where it looked most desolate. Whether they were remembering their exodus from Egypt, whether they were remembering their time in the wilderness. Whatever it is, all of these different holidays that were celebrated in the Old Testament were all about remembering. And as we come to Easter, we remember on Good Friday the sacrifice that was made. And then so often, I really believe that there's really certain points of the year where a story just needs to be told. Where, whether it's at Christmas or whether it's during Easter, where you just read the story and in its raw form, you're able to hear about God's love for us and God's love for the world. So the thing that I always find interesting, though, is I don't know about you, but when I was in elementary school, I would always, after lunch, our teachers would always read to us for about 15 minutes. And we'd read a chapter. And I don't know how teachers do it, but they always choose the books that have got that cliffhanger ending, where you can't wait till the next day, till after lunch, so that you can hear what comes next in the story. And so often we jump ahead so quickly in the Easter story, even on Good Friday, that we forget to actually reflect on the fact of what Good Friday is about and the sacrifice that was made. To think about when Jesus died on the cross and his disciples walked away that day. What happened over the next couple days was one of reflecting of their time with them, of their time with Jesus, the time they'd been spent with him, been taught by him, seen the miracles of him, seen the power of him. And it's so hard to believe in a course of a week from one point where they were cheering Jesus as he entered Jerusalem to the point where they were crying for him to be crucified, to his death on the cross, to now where we find ourselves today. It is a roller coaster of emotion in one week, especially for the disciples. But this morning we celebrate and continue our story from Good Friday. A story that was written long before Good Friday or Easter Sunday ever happened. Part of God's great plan, part of the sacrifice by sending his own son for us to die on the cross, to conquer death, so that we could be forgiven from our sins. And we find ourselves in John chapter 20. I hope you've got your Bibles with us today and you're able to follow along. We're reading just a few passages, and this is where I want to continue on our storyline about God in control. And continuing along this line, even through Easter, because it's so relevant to where we are. I really believe that as we look at this, fear is one of those things that we're driven by. And while last week we looked at peace, and as we start to finish up this series, we can see that when we start to combine all of these different aspects of love, of peace, of joy that God gives us, then that takes away the thing that seems to be happening most, which is fear. Fear of what people may say because they know that I'm a Christ follower. Fear of what's going on in my current circumstances, as we looked last week about how God is in control of the big and even the small. And so we find ourselves in John chapter 20. Take your Bibles, read along with me. We're reading from verses 19 to 23. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hand and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Here's Jesus coming to his disciples. And notice what's happening is the disciples, the one that Jesus had taught, are living in fear at that moment. They're inside their home. They're all gathered there. The door's locked because of fear of repercussions from those on the outside, from the Jewish leaders who had thought that maybe they might steal Jesus' body and try and make it look like he had been resurrected, or make it look like some sort of ruse or whatever it may be just to prove that Jesus was alive. But here Jesus shows up alive in person in their fear. And what's the first thing that he says? It reflects just on what we looked at last week, which is he comes and he says, "Peace be with you." Take a look at verse 19, because I really believe that that all of this is about embracing peace, embracing the fact that God is there, embracing the fact that God is in control, and embracing the fact that God sent his only son and conquered death so that we may be forgiven. All right, verse 19, we take a look at it. On the evening of the first day of the week, when Jesus' disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The emphasis here is on the first day of the week. The same day that Jesus rose from the dead, and the New Testament singles out Sunday as the single most important day in remembrance of the resurrection. When we read that the disciples were together, we know that Thomas was absent and that Judas had killed himself. The two from Emmaus were among them, and there could have been even more. They're all together. But the doors are locked out of fear of what's going on. They're afraid because the leader had been arrested, had been crucified in what people were perceiving as a revolution. And there was fear about what was going on and what might happen to them. So they barricaded themselves in their room. And the word fear in this means alarmed, it means frightened, it means terrified, it encompasses all of those things. And what we see here is all of a sudden, without warning, Jesus appears. And no doubt, he scares them, but immediately he says, "Peace be with you." And what I love about this is in their fear, all of a sudden Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you. I am with you. Peace be with you." Do you get what's happening there? The presence of Jesus is there with them in that room, and peace is there with them in that room. Now, I've been through this lots of times. I used to work at camp for summers upon summers upon summers, and I still love going to camp. And once in a while, my job was to patrol to make sure campers weren't sneaking out at night. I know, no campers ever sneak out at night, right? But yet, just in case, the camp would send people out to patrol the back area to make sure people weren't sneaking away or anything like that. And I remember I would always just find the point where if anyone was sneaking out, they would have to pass through this certain point. And I remember there, I was sitting with like two buddies, and I had brought my trumpet just for fun, because that's what you do at camp, right? Bring your trumpet. And the other guy had a snare drum, and another guy had a megaphone. And we were just hiding under this tree, right? And the branches were low on the ground, and we were underneath the tree. And as we were there, we can hear a couple who are clearly sneaking out, and we knew that to get to where they wanted to go, we would probably have to come to this one point where it was really narrow. So what do? We're hiding under that tree, and really what I would say is a Gideon moment, as they're there, I don't know, maybe holding hands for the first time, young love, and all of that stuff at camp, and I wait till they're right beside me, and I blow the trumpet as loud as I can right when they're at the base of it, base of the tree. And my buddy bangs the drum as loud as he can. The other one puts the megaphone on siren and with his other hand grabs the guy's leg. And let me tell you, I'm guessing the couple's not together now, but he ran so fast. But what's more important here is, guys, take note of what not to do. He ran so fast, he didn't even think about the girl. In fact, he pushed her the direction of the tree and took off. So he's willing to sacrifice her, right? I would love doing this at camp. I would love just appearing out of nowhere, right? Now, they're not living in fear, the campers. The disciples are living in fear, except what appears? Not a trumpet, not a snare drum, not a megaphone, but Jesus, and his message is that of peace. Peace with you. In fact, it goes even further than that. And I really believe that for us to not live in fear, we have to embrace the peace. Because in chaos, there can be peace. If we live in fear, we're not going to have that peace. We need to embrace that peace in every part of our lives. And the New Testament describes this with what Jesus is saying here in a few different ways, in three different ways. The first one being peace with God. And this is that bigger picture. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This word can also mean set at one again. Our relationship with Christ is at this beginning point. There's this peace that we can have with Him. There's peace with God, and then there's peace of God. This takes place internally. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding in all circumstances, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Jesus Christ. Now, the last one is the toughest one in many ways, because it's peace with others. When we have peace with God, we experience the peace of God. We extend that peace. But now we have to go further. And Matthew 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." For us to be peace workers, we have to understand and have peace with God and have that peace of God in our lives. This peace extends into these different places. And because of Christ, because of His death on His cross, or on the cross, I mean, we can think of this in a whole new light. That fear is gone, that peace is there. That because of what He did, no longer do we have to worry about our present circumstances. That there's something eternal. There's a grander scale and grander thing that's happening in all of this. His death on the cross means eternal life. Us recognizing that Jesus died on the cross means eternal life, and believing in Him means eternal life. And I have to be very clear this morning, because we celebrate Easter, and I don't know if you're tuning in this morning or you're maybe sitting there and saying, "You know what? I'm a good person. I can inherit eternal life. I believe in a higher power. I can inherit eternal life." Jesus comes for all, but you need to understand that you need to recognize Him as your Lord and Savior, to be forgiven. It's not just about doing good things. It's about believing and having that faith in Him that He died on the cross for you, for your sins. And through that comes eternal life. That's the excitement that we can have when we recognize and embrace the peace of God that can be only found through Him. And as we see ourselves here, we've got this, that we need to invite others into peace. And that's such an important thing. We need to engage in His purpose. If we engage in His purpose, as we continue to look at this passage, it becomes clear that Jesus not only gives us peace and proof for our own sakes, He also calls us to His purpose. We've been given a confirmation, yet at the same time, we've been given a commission by Him. Jesus declares in verse 21, "Peace be with you," again. "And the Father, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Notice exactly what happens in this sequence. Jesus appears. The disciples are given peace when they see that Jesus is there and Jesus is with them. And immediately the words out of his mouth are, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You have peace, now go. You have faith and you understand, now go. You have the power to forgive through the message of hope which is found in me, now go." Immediately, it's engaging with the purpose of God. Jesus says, "Okay, you've got this knowledge, you understand this, you have got that peace, now go." The disciples are given the message that cannot be kept locked up. We're given a message that cannot be locked up, that Jesus saves. And likewise, we can't get too comfortable within the walls of our own homes. And notice I said, didn't say within the walls of our own church. I said within the walls of our own homes, because that's where we are these days. We can't get too comfortable with this. The gospel must go out. It must not stay within. Someone put it this way. Christianity doesn't simply put out its sign and say, come. Christianity puts on its shoes and goes. That's why Isaiah in chapter 57 focuses on feet. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. You just put your name into that verse where God is calling you. You see what Isaiah is doing here. How beautiful are the mountains of the feet of whatever your name is, who brings good news, who proclaims peace to your neighborhood and to others, who brings good tidings to those who are hurt. And more than anything above all, because it ends this way, and it's the last thing that we see, is that proclaims salvation. You can bring good news. You can bring peace. You can bring good tidings. But at the end of the day, you proclaim the salvation that Jesus is alive. Now, I don't know because I can't hear you, but I have to assume that somebody out there sitting on a couch said amen after that. Because when you realize that Jesus is alive, you realize the power that can be found within the gospel and the powerful message that you have. Proclaim salvation. See his kingdom grow. See the world come to know Jesus. See fear be left behind and peace come into existence. The peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is alive and we must proclaim it. Jesus died for the world and we need to proclaim it. Proclaim it with excitement. Proclaim it and just shout it out that Jesus is alive. The disciples are given this message, and we must look at Jesus and look at his example and realize here that there's a whole lot going on. We're ambassadors of Christ. On this day, we celebrate that we are ambassadors of Christ because of what he did for us and the decision that we made to follow him. We are his ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us to the world. We must live by what we say. As Jesus demonstrated the validity of his message by what he did, so must we. And we can see this, but as the Father sent me, I am sending you. The Father sent Jesus as an ambassador. Jesus is sending us as an ambassador. We must be prepared for opposition. I see this more than anything now. Are we prepared for opposition? And often we say that, like, what if someone gives the wrong reaction when I tell them about Jesus? At the end of the day, you have told them about Jesus. At the end of the day, they have to reconcile between them and Jesus. But at the end of the day, you proclaim the name of Jesus. We're worried about opposition. That's fear-driven. If God is saying go, we go. We don't go in fear. We know that the God of heaven's armies is with us. We know that when the disciples saw Jesus, there was peace among them. So why can't there be peace among us as we go and we transform this world to see Christ followers everywhere, to see people come to know Jesus for the first time, to see people just live it out and see the church and Christ followers grow exponentially? That's what we should be celebrating on this day. Jesus is alive, and now we're telling the world. I love this. Like, every part of this. And you know, we look at the coronavirus and COVID-19 and everything that's going on now, and we could be living out of fear. But if there's anything that I've seen throughout this, is that God will not be silenced. That God will not put on a muzzle. That God will not slow down. That the mission of God will be there till the end. It's not slowing down. It's a runaway train, and God is saying, get on board. Nothing can stop. the power of the gospel. And I need you to recognize that as you look at this morning, that nothing can stop the power of the gospel. And with that, there is no fear. With that, there is peace. With that is the power that God is with us. The disciples knew it, and the church grew exponentially, faster than we've ever seen it grow. Over the next couple decades, we see the church expand beyond all the borders of Israel into Asia Minor, where people were in a much harder context, with the Romans coming against them, with the Greeks persecuting them, being kicked out of the financial system, being kicked out of the healthcare system. And we see the church growing because they realize Jesus is alive and there is no fear in Christ. When we go from here today, when we celebrate today, we remember that. There is no fear, but only peace through Christ. And it transcends all understanding, more than we could ever want. The love, the peace, the joy, all found through Christ. At a moment of greatest need, God promises to place a spirit in each of us individually. We are God's housing. And listen to what the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will do. And this is what Jesus says, is that he gives us the words to say in Luke chapter 12. He convicts us and our listeners of sin, it says in John chapter 16. He converts the hard-hearted. He sustains us in difficult times. He gives us focus and substance in our prayers. He gives us the ability to do what he has called us to do. And he gives us Christ-like qualities. The Bible says it. The Bible is true. And therefore, God has given us these things. When the Holy Spirit is allowed room to work, he will surprise us again and again by what it can do. We are not alone. Even in times of isolation, we are not alone. Even in times of fear, we are not alone. I take great comfort in knowing that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Last week, we talked about the fact that God being in control of the future should give us comfort in the present. But today, when we celebrate death being conquered, we celebrate knowing that fear should live no more. That peace and joy and love should abound within this story. And then abound within the outside the walls of our house. If you're listening in this morning and you've got questions about Jesus, if you got questions about why is this guy so fired up about this Jesus? I want to be able to talk to you. I want you to talk to one of our staff and one of our pastors. And I can tell you that we would drop anything to have that conversation with you. If your neighbor has invited you to watch from 6 feet apart or in separate houses or for whatever it may be, I want to tell you that for us, a mission of Christ followers at Sunrise is saying that we will drop whatever we are doing at any time when someone says, I want to know more about Jesus. And my promise for myself and for the staff at Sunrise is that we will do that in a moment's notice. Because nothing is more important in this world than you knowing Jesus. And the comfort that you can find in him, because he loved you so much, he died on the cross for you. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the celebration of who you are. Thank you that we can gather together in all different places and share in this excitement as we remember that only a few days ago in our story, you died on the cross. And only a few days before that, there is celebration for you coming into Jerusalem. And throughout this roller coaster, God, you were in control. Your grand narrative on display. And today we celebrate that you conquered death. Yet even while you were on the cross on Friday, you were still forgiving those around you. And today that same forgiveness is offered to all of us. I pray that if we know you, that we will not live in fear. I pray that if we are living in fear right now, that you would take that away and give us that peace that can only be found in you. And I pray that if we don't know who you are personally and don't believe in you, that we would grasp your hand and say, Lord, I believe that you died for me. Died for my sins. And you rose again, conquering death for me, that I may have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And we pray these things all in your name. Amen. Sunrise, thank you for just letting me come into your homes and sharing Easter with you and getting to be a part of this. I don't know if there was already a big bowl of chocolate sitting there on the your kitchen table, or you've already been eating a bunch of Cadbury eggs. Let me just say that my own weakness is the Cadbury mini eggs. I'm afraid to say how many bags I have already eaten and will continue to eat. But I hope you have a great day. I hope you're at peace with wherever you are, that you don't live in fear. Over the next week and every week, I want to really just say that we've got a bunch of things that are going on here online, through Facebook Live, on YouTube, through our website, ways for you to connect with us. Starting tomorrow, on Monday, we have my favorite Bible study and Bible study name, which is Backshed Bible Studies with Pastor Cliff. You can log on. It's live. It's interactive. And he's taking questions and just reading through God's word with you. We got our pastors gathering together on Wednesdays going live. And then on Thursdays, we've got my podcast that is out every single week. And you can find it on Thursdays at 2:00 right on our website. We're trying to stay connected in times where it seems to be very easy to be far apart. But if there's anything that we've seen here, the gospel doesn't slow down, so neither can we. Take care. Have a great week. I'll see you next week.